Good morning, everybody. Lovely to see the church gathering this morning. Very warm welcome to everyone. It's always a bit tricky doing the notices at the start. You're never quite sure who's actually going to hear them, so I'll do them, and hopefully, it will stick with at least some of you. As you know, the APCM is coming up a week on Sunday the 12th of May, and it's going to be after the 10 o'clock service. So it'll be about 11:30 a.m., the APCM. A very important meeting in the life of our church. Please do come if you can. The reports have been published, and they are now in a booklet form, which looks like that. They are available to have, to take away, and to read. They've been emailed out to you. I would ask, please, that you do read them carefully before the meeting. It's very important that you know what has been said so that you come prepared to that meeting. The other thing to say is our electoral roll is being renewed. The electoral roll, you might think, is a bit of a bureaucratic thing, but it's a very important list of those who belong to our church, and also particularly it means that you are allowed to vote at the APCM. So, if you're not on the electoral roll, and you are aware of that, please can I ask that you do add yourselves to the electoral roll. The way to do that is to fill in a little bit of paper that looks like that, and just your name and address, etc., and then give that in to Sarah or to me, and we will add you to the electoral roll. It's also important because it's something that the diocese looks at in terms of who belongs to Christ Church. So for other reasons, it's a very important thing to join. So please do that. The only other thing I need to say, or want to say really, is a social occasion coming up. There's a quiz happening here on the 10th of May, which is a Friday, so it's a week on Friday, 10th of May at 7 p.m. in church. It is being organised by Shrewsbury Youth for Christ and the Street Pastors, and it's a quiz in aid of those two organisations. I'm sure Aidan would want me to advertise this, so I am. So please do sign up for that. You can get tickets via the church website. That's the easiest way to do that. So that's the 10th of May, 7 o'clock, a quiz in aid of Shrewsbury YFC and Street Pastors here in church. Lots of other people coming as well from other churches, I'm sure. Cheryl would like to give a notice.
Good morning. Another social occasion to put in your diary. Just an advance warning that we're going to have another soup lunch that we did back in July, I think, was the last one. And that is going to be on the 26th of May after the 10 o'clock service. There'll be more information next week. I'll have a sign-up sheet. It would just be helpful to know how many people are coming. So there will be a sign-up sheet and possibly some offers of tray bakes, and even if somebody fancies making a pot of soup, that would be quite useful to save Eleanor and I doing it all. But pop that date in the diary and there'll be more information next week. Thank you.
Thank you, Cheryl. So as we gather together, we're going to join in with an opening prayer, and there will be some words that repeat through the prayer, and I invite you to say them. So as we gather together, Lord, help us to concentrate on you. As we put aside the things that distract us, Lord, help us to concentrate on you. As we give to you the things that worry us, Lord, help us to concentrate on you. As we worship you with songs of praise, Lord, help us to concentrate on you. As we listen to stories from your word, Lord, help us to concentrate on you. As we hear your teaching, Lord, help us to concentrate on you. So, Father, would you indeed help us to fix our eyes, our thoughts, our hearts on you as we worship you and as we give you our praise. In your name, amen. So, John and the team are going to lead us in song. Please do stand to sing together.
Fears is right. body lay, light of the world by darkness slain. Then bursting forth in glorious day, up from the grave he rose again. And as he stands in victory, since first has lost his grip on me, for I am his and he is mine, bought with the precious blood of Christ. No guilt in life, no fear in death, this is the power of Christ in me, from life's first cry to final.
Sin and darkness, whose love is mighty and so much stronger, the King of glory, the King above all kings, who shakes the whole earth with holy thunder and leaves us breathless in awe and wonder, the King of glory, the King above all kings. You've done for me, who brings our chaos back into order, who makes the orphan a son and daughter, the King of glory, the King of glory, who makes the nations with truth and justice shine the sun in all of its brilliance, the King of glory, the King above all.
Father, we thank you that you have done all for us. There is nothing that we need to do to come into your presence. There is nothing that we need to achieve. You have achieved it for us by dying on the cross and rising to new life and sitting on the right hand of the Father. We praise you and thank you that we are welcomed into your presence, into the very throne room of God. We thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Do have a seat. The children are going to go out quite quickly today. We're going to invite them to go out now with Phil and James, I think. Is that right? I'm going to presume it is. That's what I've been told. So let's pray for the children as they go out with James and Phil and to their group. Father, we thank you with all our heart for the children who belong to this fellowship. They are the church of not only the future, they're the church of today. And Lord, we pray your blessing on them as they go out to their group to have teaching and fun and to learn, Lord. We pray that their learning would result in fruit, that would result in joy in their lives. We pray for them and their leaders now. Bless them, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay, bless you as you go. And they'll be coming back for communion a bit later on. We're going to have a time now of confession and admitting to God we don't always live his way. We don't always live up to his goodness and his love. And we do things wrong in our lives, don't we? So we're going to have some time to be quiet in the Lord's presence now. And there's a prayer, or at least I'm going to pray a prayer. And if you'd like to say amen at the end, please do. God of unity and love, place within each of us a spirit of hope and community. Have mercy upon us when we speak without love or act without humility. Cleanse us with the living water of your grace. Create in us willing hearts to live in patience and gentleness. Raise us up to be your children, growing towards maturity in faith and love. Strengthen this church, we pray, that we may truly love each other with the love of Christ for all the world to see. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. So maybe in the quiet of your heart, maybe just say sorry to God for the way you've not lived up to his mark this week. And maybe call to mind those moments when you have let him down. We thank you, Lord, for your grace and forgiveness in our lives. And so may Almighty God, who sent his Son into the world to save sinners, bring you, bring me, bring us all his pardon and his peace, now and forever. Amen. Amen. We're going to sing another song now before we have the Bible reading, and then John Langridge is going to be preaching this morning. So let's stand and sing Worthy of Every Song We Could Ever Sing.
Worthy of every breath we
And so, Father, as we read your word, we pray that you would fill our hearts with your love. In Jesus' name, amen. Do be seated. And Joan is going to come and read the passage to us, and then John will be speaking.
Morning. This reading is taken from Paul's letter to Timothy, the first letter, chapter 5, verses 17 to 25, and it's on page 1193 in the Church Bible, if you want to follow it. The elders who direct the affairs of the church well are worthy of double honour, especially those whose work is preaching and teaching. For Scripture says, "Do not muzzle an ox while it is treading out the grain, and the worker deserves his wages. Do not entertain an accusation against an elder unless it is brought by two or three witnesses. But those elders who are sinning, you are to reprove before everyone, so that the others might take warning. I charge you in the sight of God and Jesus Christ and the elect angels to keep these instructions without partiality and to do nothing out of favoritism. Do not be hasty in the laying on of hands, and do not share in the sins of others. Keep yourselves pure. Stop drinking only water and use a little wine because of your stomach and your frequent illnesses. The sins of some are obvious, reaching the place of judgment ahead of them. The sins of others trail behind them. In the same way, good deeds are obvious, and even those that are not obvious cannot remain hidden forever. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Shall we pray for John as he comes to speak? Father, we pray for John as he speaks to us from your word. We thank you for his preparation. We thank you for him. We pray you bless him and us as we hear and as we obey. In your name. Amen.
Well, good morning. Firstly, an apology. If you looked at the news sheet and thought that Peter was going to preach this morning, I'm sorry you've got me. My apologies for that. The other thing I wanted to say is it's wonderful to see Ian Tanner back with us this morning. Ian, we're so pleased to see you. We know you've had a really tough time, so it's great to see you. Thank you. As has been mentioned many times during this series, 1 Timothy is a letter written to a person, to Timothy, and not to a church. And this passage, which we've just had read in particular, is very much about how Timothy should lead the church in Ephesus. John Stott summarizes up these verses as the 5 qualities needed by Christian leaders: appreciation, fairness, impartiality, caution, and discernment. So that's for you, Peter, okay? Sorry. As such, it does not easily translate into helpful advice for the average Christian who does not have these church leadership responsibilities, or anything like them, really. So as I began to reflect on this, because of the way my weird mind works, I thought, if these are the guidance for church leaders, well, what should be the guidance offered to church members, which, after all, is what the vast majority of us all. If this is what Timothy as a leader should be, what should we as disciples be? And to answer this, you could turn to any one of the New Testament epistles, really. But my choice is 1 John, in particular, chapter 3. And if you have the Bibles there and you'd like to turn to that, Peter, you realize I'm going off-piste here. But 1 John, chapter 3. In the church Bibles, it's in on page 1226. 1226. 1 John, chapter 3. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Dear friends, now we are children of God. And what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. I didn't hear any response to those words. And I think John, when he wrote that, he would have expected the people who heard it read to them for the first time responding to that with a hallelujah and a praise the Lord, and this is wonderful. And I didn't even get a very restrained British amen. But John was looking for a reaction. Jackman writes that this is meant to take our breath away, to startle and amaze us so that we are left gasping. You see, it begins with see. See how great. And there's force behind that. He's saying, look at this. Behold this. Think about this. Examine this. This is an amazing truth. We are God's children. We are God's children. Allow that reality to sink in. God's love has been lavished on us. What a rich word that is, lavish. I love that word. And it speaks of abundance. And as John Stott remarks, this love is astonishing. God loves us so much that he has, by sheer grace and completely without our deserving it in any way, he's adopted us into his family. We are children of God. With all that that implies. It's wonderful. It's about status. Spiritually, we are royalty. We are children of the King of Kings. It's about inheritance. We are heirs with Christ. It's about privilege. We come into the presence of God without fear or favor. It's about security. None can pluck him from our hands. None can pluck us from his hands. No power on earth, no scheme of man can pluck us from. There's security for you. What an amazing truth it is, children of God. Would you grasp that? Now, I don't know about you, but sometimes I find that hard to believe. And not about you. I mean, I'm not looking out here thinking, Lord, are you serious? These people, children of God. But me, I know me. I have to face myself in the mirror every day. And I know my faults and failings. I know the flaws. I know the less than holy attitudes and desires that nobody else knows about me. How could God know all that about me? And he does. Nothing is hidden from his sight. How could he know all that about me? And love me so much that he takes me into his family. It's amazing. It's astonishing. But it is true. And like everyone else, I need to grasp that truth and know it in my heart as well as my head. It's wonderful. It means that we don't have to earn his favor. We're never working out whether we've got enough brownie points for God to like us. We don't have to fear rejection for doing something wrong. Unconditional, extravagant love is ours from the Father. And we haven't seen the best yet. Because John goes on to write, what we will be has not yet been made known. At the moment, the family likeness in us is pretty imperfect. We don't look a great deal like Jesus at the moment. But one day, we will see him and be made like him. And there is so much about that rich inheritance which we don't know, but we do know that it is amazing and it's wonderful and it is kept securely in heaven waiting for us. Excuse me. Now this double blessing, being one of God's children now, with even more blessing to come when Jesus returns. If we truly grasp the wonder of this double blessing, it must shape our daily living. Jackman, in his commentary, calls it the other side of the coin of God's rich love and free mercy. We rejoice in this love and mercy, but if we really grasp that we are God's children, as a consequence, it must shape our daily lives. It must be evident in the way that we live. If you are in the royal family, you have a responsibility to live reflecting that royal family. Now, I know our own royal family, that's not been a very good illustration from time to time over the past few decades, but I think you understand what I mean. We have a responsibility as spiritual royalty to live that out in our daily lives. John had earlier commented in his letter that when Jesus comes, we will want to be confident and unashamed before him. It's that old thing that people would say, challenge yourself during the day. If Jesus came right at this moment, would you be happy if he found you doing this or thinking this or saying this? We need to be ready. And John expresses this as purifying ourselves in verse 3. Everyone who has this hope purifies himself. If our great hope is based on being with him in eternity, we need to be ready. We need to start preparing for it now, for that great moment in the future. And when John encourages us to purify ourselves, it's not a one-off thing, you know, like take a quick dip in an ice bath. It's an ongoing, continuous process that he's talking about. Constantly, daily, working to become a little more like Jesus. Now, of course, it's Jesus who takes away our sin. We are cleansed by him through his shed blood on the cross. But we know as well that we are not yet perfect. We are work in progress. And we are all and always subject to temptation and the influence of the enemy, the trying to pull us away from living as a child of God. We are still prone to sin. Now, there's a little conundrum here, because those of you who know this letter well, this letter of 1 John, will know that in chapter 1 he says, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar and his word is not in us. He's saying, come on guys, be realistic. You all sin. But if you read on in chapter 3, he says in chapter 3, no one who lives in him keeps on sinning. No one who continues to sin has either known him or seen him. No one who is born of God will continue to sin. And that seems to say, well, come on, if you're followers of God, you shouldn't be sinning. And that those two things seem not to fit very well within the one letter. It's something that scholars have debated for centuries. John Stott in his commentary lists 7 different approaches to understanding this. So buckle up. We're not going to work through all 7 to avoid sleep-inducing theological nitpicking, I'm going to skip that bit. And you needn't worry about burnt dinners. I'm going to mention one, which I think is the best, and I have confidence in this, that I agree with John Stott. Or perhaps he agrees with me. I don't know which way round it was, really. But it's this. Clearly, even as Christians, as children of God, we still sin. And we know that when that happens, we can come in sorrow through confession, receive cleansing and forgiveness. That's expected. We understand that. But what is not expected of us is that we continue in sinful habits without any concern. No Christian can possibly be a deliberate and consistent and careless sinner. If we have some character trait or habit which is not a reflection of the life of Jesus in us, bitterness, greed, jealousy, temper, criticism, judgmental, well, that's my list. You've probably all got your own as well. You know the sort of things. And if we know that and we are unconcerned about them and we excuse them as our little, I know I've got a temper, but you know, it's all right. It's not an isolated act. It's a settled habit. And if the Holy Spirit is truly indwelling us, we will not be able to happily continue in that habit. And this is what John means when he writes of being purified, an ongoing work. It's about breaking the habitual sins, replacing them with the fruit of the Spirit, and shaping us more into the likeness of Christ day by day. That's where we should be. This takes time, and it will never be complete, this side of glory. So never think that you've arrived. This is what Stott calls the moral test. The evidence of a true believer is righteous conduct, living in conformity and obedience to the ways of Jesus, becoming more like him day by day. It's not about the right doctrine, it's not about spouting the right theology, but it's about truly reflecting what you are, a child of God, in the reality of your daily life. Your daily life should show that you are a child of God more and more every day. I've been reading some A.W. Tozer lately. It's one of the old great Christian writers. And he pulls no punches. It can be uncomfortable stuff to read over breakfast, I tell you. And he says this. He writes of the static Christian who is slowed in his spiritual progress. And he says, the average Christian does not make much spiritual progress at all. He's converted, but 5 or 10 years later, he is no further forward. That is not satisfactory to those who seek and hunger after God. We do sin from time to time. We can always seek forgiveness and cleansing, but the evidence of the Holy Spirit at work within us is the steady change in becoming more like Jesus. If we understand who we are, children of God, and we have this sure and certain hope of the future life with Jesus, we will be preparing for that now. Allowing the Spirit to challenge us, encourage us, and develop within us the family likeness. It's not that we just sit there and allow the Spirit to wash over us. We have a part to play. We have to put the effort in. We have to have that seeking and hunger for God that the Spirit can work on. Now, just to confirm that this is what Paul might well have written if he was writing to his disciples rather than the leader Timothy, I want to finish with some words from Philippians chapter 3. I'm going to read from verse 12. And if you know the passage, you know that Paul was saying about how he had all these wonderful qualifications and how he was a great Pharisee and a great dedicated follower after God. And then he said, all that stuff, I've ditched it now for the sake of knowing Christ, Jesus my Lord. It's wonderful. And he says, not that I've already obtained all of this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenwards in Christ Jesus. It's what I've been trying to say. He says it better because, you know, he's Paul, you know. Straining towards what is ahead. I press on. I want to win the prize. And so here's the challenge for us as children of God. We have to ask ourselves, are we static? Are we comfortable in the world? Casual about our habitual sins? Are we more like Jesus than we were this time last year or the year before? Or perhaps we're beginning to grasp the wonder of our status in Christ, that we're children of God, and the amazing love that he's lavished on us. And within us, there's that deep desire, there's that seeking, that hunger for God, and we are determined to press on, longing for the Spirit to work in us and make us more like Jesus day by day. Well, as a response to that, we're going to sing a song now. I think it's quite familiar to you. But you know, if God's been challenging you this morning, I have no idea what he's saying to you, but if God's been challenging you this morning, saying, are you going to press on with me? Do you really want to be more like Jesus? Are you hungering and thirsting? Well, then this song can be your response. You can make it your prayer as you sing this morning. And you say to the Lord, may the mind of Christ my Savior live in me from day to day. May the word of Christ dwell richly in my heart from hour to hour. May the peace of Christ my Savior rule my life in everything. May the love of Jesus fill me as the waters fill the sea. May I run the race before me, strong and brave to face the foe, looking only unto Jesus as I onward go. Is that your prayer this morning? Make that your prayer then to God as we sing together.
Oh,
Do be seated, everybody. Thank you, John, for that talk. Thank you very much indeed. Lots to ponder and live out, as you've been saying. So we come now to some prayers, our intercessions, and I'm going to use the well-known response, Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer, and also leave some space for you to lift your own prayers to the Lord as we pray. So let us pray for the church and the world, and let us thank God for his goodness. Holy God, we pray for the worldwide Christian church, Christ's body here on earth, and all church leaders. We pray especially for those churches who meet in difficult and dangerous circumstances. May they be aware of your abiding presence to uphold their courage and strengthen their faith. In a moment of quiet, I invite you to remember before God a country or place in the world where the church is suffering in the name of Christ. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Creator God, we pray for your world, and we long for the time when all the families of the nations will bow down before you, and the poor will eat and be satisfied. We pray for world leaders who bear the heavy responsibility of providing for their populations. Give them wisdom to know what is right and the courage to make the right decisions. We pray particularly for peace in all places where there is violence, war, and terrorism. And in a moment of quiet, I invite you to lift to the Lord a situation in the world which needs the peace of Jesus Christ today. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Father God, we thank you for all those who help our local community to run smoothly. Bless our neighbours and friends and strengthen those who are working in your name to bring healing and comfort to those in need. We also pray for the election that is coming up on Thursday for the Police and Crime Commissioner for the West Midlands. We pray that the person elected will seek to serve well and with integrity. In a moment of quiet, I invite you to pray for any aspect of life in our local community that is on your heart and mind today. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Loving God, we bring to you the sufferings of those we hold dear, the struggle of those trying to cope with difficult circumstances, the pain of the sick at home, in hospital or care homes, the loneliness of the elderly and the frail. In your great mercy, bring them comfort and reassurance that you are always with them in all their troubles. In a moment of quiet, I invite you to pray for one person that you know who needs God's healing touch today. Almighty God, we ask you to draw close to all of those mentioned so that they may be aware of your healing presence. And we ask you to provide your peace and comfort for them at this time. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Merciful God, your Son, Jesus Christ, is the light of the world, a light which no darkness can put out. We remember before you those who have died, and pray for all those who are going through the darkness of loss and bereavement. Almighty God, we thank you for your promise of eternal life and the hope of glory, and commend to your everlasting love and care those who have died. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Everlasting God, as we go out into the world, help us as we seek to live our lives according to your Son, Jesus Christ's example. Fill each of us with your Holy Spirit so that we may be a living testament to your will for your world. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. And so we come to the peace, remembering to respect those who want a little bit of space around them. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. We meet in the name of Christ, and we share his peace. The peace of the Lord be always with you. Let's share with each other a sign of God's peace. For our liturgy, our communion liturgy, we're going to use the child-friendly version. I've noticed we haven't actually got the children back in, so if somebody can please go and invite them to join us, that would be wonderful. And the response is one we've used before, holy, 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 and the idea is that I will say the first holy, you say the second, and then we will say the third holy. The Lord is here. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Holy. Holy. It is always right to give you thanks, God our Creator, loving and faithful, holy and strong. You made us and the whole universe and filled your world with life. Holy.
Holy.
Holy. You sent your Son to live amongst us, Jesus our Saviour, Mary's child. He suffered on the cross. He died to save us from our sins. He rose in glory from the dead. Holy.
Holy.
Holy. Holy. You send your Spirit to bring new life to the world and clothe us with power from on high. And so we join with the angels to celebrate and sing and say together, Holy, 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 God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. in the highest. Father, on the night before he died, Jesus shared a meal with his friends. He took the bread. He thanked you. He broke it and gave it to them, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, given for you. Do this to remember me." After the meal, Jesus took the cup of wine. He thanked you and gave it to them, saying, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new promise of God's unfailing love. Do this as often as you drink it to remember me." Great is the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Father, as we bring this bread and wine and remember his death and resurrection, send your Holy Spirit upon us, that we who share these gifts may be fed by Christ's body and his blood. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Pour out your Spirit upon us, we pray, that we may love one another, work for the healing of the earth, and share the good news of Jesus as we wait for his coming in glory. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. For all honor and praise belong to you, Father, with Jesus your Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, for ever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And so we now pray the prayer that Jesus himself taught us to pray, the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. We break this bread to share in the body of Christ. Though we are many, we are one body, because we all share in one. Draw near with faith. Receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave for you, and his blood, which he shed for you. Eat and drink in remembrance that Christ died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. So we will carry on our normal custom of sharing the bread from the middle table and the wine from either side. Both alcoholic and non-alcoholic wine will be available on that side of the church, and you will be guided.
Thank you. body of Christ to keep you in eternal life. Amen. And the blood of Christ to keep you in eternal life. Say this prayer on communion together. Almighty God, we thank you for feeding us with the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Through him we offer you our souls and bodies to be a living sacrifice. Send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory. Now we'd like the children to share. We've got, we'd just like to share what you've been doing. It'd be wonderful if you could. Thank you.
Okay, I'm not sure. Can you hear me all right? Yeah. I'm not sure, we might have a few shy ones, but we talked about favouritism, didn't we? We looked at how people are treated differently, and you can feel sad or angry. We then looked at our favourite colours, foods, things, and we got the kids to draw some pictures of their favourites. What did you draw, Kate? I'll say for you. He's drawn fish and chips. Football boots, his football shirt, and that was quite a common theme running through. At the end, we then finished off with a bit of a running round game, game for coloured pens and stuff. And then right at the very end, we just considered that despite all our favourite things, despite sometimes when we might feel angry, that God loves us and we're all his favourite. And that's the thing to remember, when we feel up or down or happy or sad. We're all God's favourite. So thank you.
Thank you. It's a scary thing standing up here, isn't it, Caden? It really is. That's right. So we're going to have our final song, In the Darkness We Were Waiting, Without Hope, Without Light, and then Jesus. So let's stand and sing this lovely final song to you.
In the darkness we were waiting, without hope, without light, till from heaven you came running, there was mercy in your eyes, to fulfill the Lord and prophet, to a virgin came the word, from a throne of darkness to a cradle in the dirt. Praise the Father, praise the Son, praise the Spirit, three in one, God of glory, majesty, praise Praise the Father, praise the Son.
till that stone was moved for good, for the Lamb had conquered death. And the dead rose from their tombs, and the angels stood in awe, for the souls of all who'd come to the Father are restored. And the church of Christ was born, and the Spirit lit the flame. Now the gospel truth of all, it shall not kneel, it shall not faint. By his blood and in his name, in his freedom I am free. For the love of Jesus Christ, who has resurrected me.
And so as we go out into the world, go with this blessing upon you. Go forth into the world, trusting with your hearts the wisdom that God bestows upon all who seek to follow God's will. When called to lead, do so with humility and confidence in God. Be in this world a sign of Jesus' presence. Share compassion with all whom you encounter. Live wisely in God's name and glorify God in all you do. And may the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit rest upon you with all those you love now and always. Amen. Amen. And so we go in peace to love and to serve the Lord.
In the name of Christ.